Richie Neal, a tragic death. Marine Tom Sullivan was killed. One of those people in the Chattanooga, Tennessee shooting. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, they're a great family. I know the Sullivans. They started on Hungry Hill in Springfield, and they migrated out to East Forest Park, and then the family moved to Hamden, Massachusetts, and the children went to school with my children at Cathedral High School. And I think that when you read the details, as described in the current issue of the New York Times, you can see that these individuals acted heroically, consistent with the Marine Corps oath. And not only did they do what they were supposed to do, but they came to the aid of individual citizens who might have been put in harm's way if not for their effort. And so I think that Gunnery Sergeant Sullivan, whose life was committed to the Marine Corps and to the actual service in Iraq on two different tours of duty, is pretty remarkable. And I think that we all are certainly grieving Gunnery Sergeant Sullivan's passing.
You know, when you look at something like this, there's always sort of cause and effect. What do you think we have to do?
Well, I know some of the governors have moved in the direction now of suggesting that at the recruitment centers that there will be armed military personnel. And the dilemma there, I think we ought to wait and see what the federal government and the Pentagon or the Department of Defense has to say, because recall at the recruitment centers, one of the challenges you face is to make it as welcoming as possible. And in the old courthouse in Springfield, where my office previously was, the recruiting centers were there, and some of that has been now consolidated at Westover Air Force Base. So you could not get on Westover Air Force Base easily, I can tell you that. You'd have to go through military personnel to access that base. And the military personnel at the gate at Westover, they are armed. So, but there are other recruiting centers, like the one in the old courthouse, that I don't believe that the military recruiters are armed at that station.
One assumes that even if they had guns, there could have been a terrible outcome.
Well, it's one of the great problems that you have in a democracy, and it's always a challenge to individual liberty as to how we proceed, but not to miss the point that there is a level of danger that is now being offered by some of the more radical Islamic sect, and we need to be mindful of it and very careful how we treat it. When you read about the radicalization of the individual here who undertook this awful crime, he clearly, on his visit to Jordan, had been radicalized. And there's a series of other issues that attend, including the fact that there apparently was a long bout with mental illness and a home life that was anything but stable. And I think that he was recruited, as many are today in these instances, through the use of the Internet. And we need to be very careful about this, because there is an element out there that wishes great harm to the United States. And these victims in Chattanooga are the latest example.
Well, you know, I've been having arguments on the air with some of my colleagues about whether this is terrorism or not. A terror cell would be somebody who's commanded from somewhere else. But what happens is you have some of these jihadists who, in fact, do their best to say, to send out the word, hey, wherever you are, if you're kids, if you're ever, you know, grab a gun and go, or a bomb and go kill somebody. To me, that's terror. And the fact that they're doing that, they're sending that message out, is terroristic. I mean, maybe we're just getting too caught up in words here, but what do you think?
Well, I think that an individual like the perpetrator in Chattanooga, he clearly was recruited over the Internet.
Right.
And I think he embraced radical positions, largely because of the recruitment that ISIS and others are offering to these young men and women across Western democracies. It is serious enough so that Prime Minister David Cameron has offered a series of new proposals to deal with it. You have family members saying that their children are radicalized without their knowledge, only to discover that the children pick up and move, generally crossing the Syrian border through Turkey, in an effort to aid the jihadists. And I think that this is, in any standard, this individual who fired and killed these five military personnel, he certainly had been recruited for terrorist activity. And when you have an individual doing what he did, coming off of the Internet and coming off the visit to Jordan, I think that that certainly can be equated with an act of terror.
Let's go somewhere.
There's no address for modern terrorism. That's one of the problems. There's no central address for it. And I think that this individual was clearly recruited over the Internet.
I wanted to talk to you about something very different, and I hope that nobody's going to hold me responsible for taking a terrible subject like that and then putting something else up here. But I'm talking about your endorsement of Springfield Mayor Dominic Sarno. I've talked to him. I'm very impressed by him. You're a former mayor. You know, how much do you project yourself into what a mayor has to do in a city like Springfield?
Well, I think that my example and my steep climb has certainly always been measured by the effects of having held the mayor's job in the city of Springfield a long time ago. But always to understand that most members of the Congress come from state legislatures. And I think that there are really a handful of us who have come from the mayor's office, including Michael Capuano in Somerville. But I think that we have a bit different perspective on economic growth, balanced budgets, and opportunity and aspiration. And that's not to suggest that we know more or less about a particular topic, but I do think that every day in the mayor's office is really about the notion of aspiration through the creation of jobs and good schools and the basic services that people have the right to expect of their local government. And I think that Mayor Sarno, at this particular time in his career, has done a pretty good job on all fronts, as I've described them. I think that there's an economic spurt that is occurring. I think that Springfield, like many major cities, whether it's Chicago or Baltimore or Boston or Cleveland, it's been plagued by a spate of gun violence that we all need to be mindful of. But I think that he's done a good job in minority communities. He's done a good job with the majority communities. And he has also, I think, been available 24/7. And to be candid, one of my reasons for the endorsement was very simple. I thought that in the aftermath of the tornado, it was actually his best moment. And Springfield today is worthy of a national news story based upon what has happened in terms of recovery for those homes that have been rebuilt, lives that have been reassembled, and economic opportunities that now seem to be all headed in the right direction.
Which is harder, being a congressman or being a mayor?
Well, I think in the congressional job, you probably have more room to deliberate. I think you have a chance in congressional life to set the agenda. I'm not so sure in the mayor's office you have the opportunity to set the agenda without having it amended the very day that you've set it. Mm. I think that there are great highs and lows in the executive office, whether it's president, governor, or mayor, but oftentimes you're responding to the latest crisis as opposed to Congress, where you have an opportunity, I think, in a more esoteric setting to deliberate.
So I only have a minute, but ethically, the mayorality of major cities can be more challenging. You know, it's closer to the people. People want to get what they want to get. We've seen mayors go to jail. Is that true, so that it's more challenging than in Congress?
I think it is. And one of the troubles, the challenges you have in the mayor's office, I used to frequently cite the example, there were always three good proposals, three good projects, or three good people in front of you. But you can only choose one. And then it comes down to the issue of whether you've been treated fairly or favorably. And the loser never believes that they were treated fairly, because they actually, their original request was to be treated favorably.
I really like that answer. Richie Neal, great to talk to you, as always. And when we come back, we have a lot of stuff to cover, so including Iran and Greece and maybe the 2016 elections, okay?
Look forward to it, Alan.